This afternoon, if you'll turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 4, we want to look at verses 9 to 11 this afternoon. I've been trying to lead you through a study of the living creatures, and we're in our fourth sermon on the living creatures, and the reason that I labor these things with you is to show you the importance of the congregation of the local church learning to work together with and interact with their pastor. It's a very important thing to God, as well as it is to us, that be the case. So let's bow together for prayer before I begin to speak to you. Oh, our God, we thank you for the depth and the riches of the Word of God. We thank you that you use this means of grace to teach us through the Bible, the truth of the Bible, and many word pictures in the book of Revelation, of what it means for the kingdom of God to advance in this present evil age. And we do pray for the kingdom of our Lord, of you, our Lord, to come with power, power to our hearts here this afternoon, power to our church to be able to labor for you, Lord Jesus, power to overcome the evil one, and power to be good witnesses to you. So we ask that you will bless us this afternoon around this study, and each and every one of us take a lively interest in it, as it is your word, and we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Revelation chapter 4, and I'll begin reading to you in verse 6, before the throne there was a sea of glass like crystal, and in the midst of the throne and around the throne were four living creatures full of eyes in front and in back. The first living creature was like a lion. The second living creature was like a calf. The third living creature had a face like a man. And the fourth living creature was like a flying eagle. The four living creatures, each having six wings, were full of eyes around and within. And they do not rest day or night, saying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." Whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to Him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before Him, who sits on the throne, and worship Him who lives forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, "You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For You have created all things, and by Your will they exist and were created." Now, I've been speaking to you in past sermons about the worship of God and what the worship of God should look like in all the generations during this church age. And we have seen that formal and corporate worship is to be given to the triune God by His gathered saints. And we see here in this text how the Father is being represented for us here as a jasper and sardius stone in appearance, and He is seated on the throne. The Holy Spirit, in all of His glorious ministry in relation to the fulfillment of God's eternal purposes, is spoken of here as seven lamps of fire which are burning before the throne. Now, we'll speak to you more in coming weeks of the Lord Jesus Christ in relation to the throne. It says here that He is in the midst of the throne, chapter 5, verse 6. And this position is a picture of His office in the Godhead, as well as His role as the only mediator between God and man. We also have spent some time in trying to understand the meaning of the four living creatures and the 24 elders. I trust I've been able to convince you that the 24 elders represent the entire church of our Lord Jesus Christ, composed of believers from both Old Testament and New, who are holy, wise, and discerning in their worship of God. And then I told you that those four living creatures symbolically represent ministers of God's truth, those who lead in the worship and service of God. We have looked at the ministry, the mission, and the service of the living creatures thus far. And this afternoon, I would like now for us to look at the response which is given by the church to the living creatures. We see the response given by the church in verses 9 to 11 of the text. The 24 elders first fall down before God, who sits on the throne, and then they worship Him who lives forever and ever. And then thirdly, they cast their crowns before the throne, declaring His worthiness. We're only going to have time for two of the three responses, but let's see whether we can learn more of what is the appropriate response of worship in these words. I'm going to ask two questions. First, what does it mean for the church to fall down before God, who sits on the throne? The ministry of a pastor, as we have seen, is a living creature. It's something that takes on an existence of its own, and that is because God Himself is in it. The minister is just a man, and as such, he has many weaknesses and much remaining corruption that still plagues his heart. But he is a man who is called by God, and he is used of God to be a helper and a worker together with God to bring about the fulfillment of God's good purpose in relation to building the church and adding to the church and building up the people of God. Ephesians 3:18 to 22 speaks clearly of these things. It says, "Now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit." The saints and ministers together are being built into a holy temple. It says here they are built for the purpose of God's dwelling in their midst and God's being worshipped and glorified as they are transformed more and more by His Word and by His Spirit. I want you to turn with me over to Ephesians 4 and verses 11 and 12. Ephesians chapter 4 and verses 11 and 12. The Apostle Paul says here, "And Christ gave some to be apostles and some prophets and evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature, the fullness of Christ." So this ministry of those who are pastors and teachers in the church universal just described were given by Christ to equip the saints for the work of service, so that God would be worshipped and served in accordance with His Word. This is indeed a very important thing in God's sight, and it's the reason why a whole chapter is given here at the beginning of the prophetic section of the book of Revelation to describe it symbolically. I believe if we meditate on these verses, if we remember what God expects in worship, that what this means is that there will be a bowing of our mind and our heart and really our collective will of each true church of Jesus Christ to receive the ministry of the living creatures. In other words, this is all worship is meant to be us together here worshiping. All of us bowing our mind and heart and collective will to receive the ministry of God to us and to worship God in accordance with the Word that is preached to us. It means that the church will respond to what's being taught and being led by the living creatures, and that the church will act upon it in a way which will bring honor and glory to God. You notice that whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to Him who sits on the throne, that the 24 elders fall down. And this is an act of worship to receive God's Word concerning who He is and what He is like. It's a life of worship to act in obedience, I'm saying, to the Word of God that is preached to you. That's why preaching is central in our services of worship. It's not so a man might just ramble on and on, but so that it is so that God might be seen for who He is and what He is like, and that then together, beholding His glory, that we would know Him better and we would respond to Him in better fashion in our hearts. Now, you remember last week when we were studying the service of the living creatures that I spoke to you about the eyes of the living creatures from the book of Ezekiel. And in the text in verse 8, it says here in chapter 1 that the four living creatures were full of eyes around and within. And further it says, and they do not rest day or night, saying, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and who is and is to come. So this is the ministry of the living creature, to declare day and night that God is holy. He, the minister, will declare this from the pulpit, and the Lord helping him, he will also declare it in his life. And he will declare it in the way that he lives before his family, and he will declare it before the community that he lives in. But this ministry should, and it will, have a response to it from those who sit under the ministry from week to week. Those who listen will respond if they are an obedient people and the Holy Spirit is at work in their lives. The minister, the living creature, teaches and leads in such a way that when he watches for the souls in his congregation, that they know that God is looking for obedience and praise to come forth from their lives, and that this would be given to God as an offering from their heart. The pastor is not ministering in order that the people would obey him personally. That's not his intention. That is not his goal. Rather, he is looking for the congregation to hear God's voice in the preaching and to heed what God has said. The pastor is looking to see if there is unity of purpose to be a holy people within the congregation. Now, I want you to turn back with me to the book of Ezekiel chapter 1 once again. Ezekiel chapter 1 and verse 15. I'm hoping to make some of these visions that were given to Ezekiel a little bit more understandable to you. Maybe you've read them for years and never really understood them. In Ezekiel chapter 1 and in verse 15, it says here, Now as I looked at the living creatures, behold, a wheel was on the earth beside each living creature with its four faces. The appearance of the wheels and their workings was like the color of beryl, and all four had the same likeness. The appearance of their workings was, as it were, a wheel in the middle of a wheel. And when they moved, they went toward any one of four directions, and they did not turn aside when they went. As for their rims, they were awesome, and their rims were full of eyes all around the four of them. And when the living creatures went, the wheels went beside them. And when the living creatures were lifted up from the earth, the wheels were lifted up. Wherever the Spirit wanted to go, they went, because there the Spirit went. And the wheels were lifted together with them, for the spirit of the living creatures was in the wheels. When those went, these went. And when those stood, these stood. And when those were lifted up from the earth, the wheels were lifted up together with them, for the spirit of the living creatures was in the wheels. So you can see from this description that the wheels in this passage are what the elders are in the passage in Revelation. The only difference between the wheels and the seated and crowned elders is that they represent different aspects of truth concerning the same entity which is being represented, which is the church of Jesus Christ. In the book of Revelation, the elders represent the fact that Christ has come. All worship and service to God is now based upon the finished work of Jesus Christ. And believers are led by faith in Jesus Christ to the place where the truths revealed by Him and His apostles are preached to them, and they respond according to this revealed and preached truth. In the passage in Ezekiel, the wheels and the living creatures were united together, one wheel, each with one living creature, are representing the fact that God's judgments were coming upon the nation of Israel. The glory was departing from the city and the temple because of the great wickedness of the majority of the people and the priests. But God would preserve a remnant. A remnant of His people who would listen to their prophets. And the Old Testament church, composed in part of the remnant of true believers who heard Ezekiel's prophecy, would need to be very watchful in regard to holiness. They would need to stay very close to the true prophets and priests who remained, because God's judgments were going forth in all the earth, and it was God's glory that was at stake. And so to repent and live a holy life by faith in God's Word, which was delivered to them through His servants, the prophets, this was the essential thing for them. And the spirit of the living creatures was in the wheels in this vision. What the prophet taught them came to live in them as they clung to the words of the true prophets. But this vision, I believe, also has this application prophetically to the New Testament church that was someday coming. The spirit of the living creatures being in the wheels, each creature having one wheel next to it, and the fact that they never did anything apart from each other and were being led by the Spirit, all this points forward to what Jesus Christ brought in through His life, death, and resurrection. True unity in the church is based upon Christ's work to establish the church and her ministers in one body. And so the glory of God is integrally linked to the church, and it's becoming like Christ. The church has eyes all around the rims of her wheel, which are awesome. So even as the living creatures are full of eyes around and within, so are the wheels. The true churches of Jesus Christ, they come to be watchful. They come to be discerning of what is morally good, and they strive to live that way because of the spirit of the living creatures is in the wheels. So when the living creature, the minister, is lifted up and led and moved by the Spirit of God, then the wheel, that is the church that he ministers to, is lifted up with him. And the two move together as a holy chariot, so to speak, knowing their commission is to take the gospel to every creature. And they then proclaim the gospel as they watch to discern what is false, what is wicked, and what is untrue. And they promote everything that is good and all that God has commanded in His Word. They do this together. They do not turn aside from that purpose. The universal church on earth moves with this purpose in every direction to the four corners of the earth with the gospel. Ezekiel's vision simply encompasses a smaller geography than that which we find in gospel times. So secondly, I want to ask this question. What does it mean then to worship Him who lives forever and ever? Because this is what the second response of the elders to the living creatures is in our text. And I want you to turn with me over to Ezekiel 10. Ezekiel chapter 10. You've probably never heard so much preaching from the book of Ezekiel in your life. But this is good for you. Here we have another vision of the cherubim and the wheels. And we find that this vision comes after it has been revealed to Ezekiel in previous visions that God was going to destroy Jerusalem because of the abominations which had been and were being committed by the people and the priests there. The reason that God was coming to judge Jerusalem and the nation of Israel is because they were living in unrepentant sin and idolatry. Here in chapter 10, we see that the glory of God is His holiness. And the glory of God is seen in the remnant of His people that hold fast His commandments and do not worship idols. It says, chapter 10 and verse 4, "Then the glory of the Lord went up from the cherub and paused over the threshold of the temple, and the house was filled with the cloud, and the court was full of the brightness of the Lord's glory. And the sound of the wings of the cherubim was heard, even in the outer court, like the voice of God Almighty when He speaks. Then it happened, when He commanded the man clothed in linen, saying, 'Take fire from among the wheels, from among the cherubim,' that he went in and stood beside the wheels. And the cherub stretched out his hand from among the cherubim to the fire that was among the cherubim and took some of it and put it in the hands of the man clothed with linen, who took it and went out." Now back in verses 1 and 2 of this chapter, it says, "And I looked, and there was in the firmament that was above the head of the cherubim, there appeared something like a sapphire stone, having the appearance of the likeness of a throne. Then he spoke to the man clothed with linen and said, 'Go in among the wheels and under the cherub, fill your hands with coals of fire from among the cherubim and scatter them over the city.' And he went in as I watched." I had to ask myself as I read these verses, who is this man clothed in linen? The voice from the throne is God the Father, as it is in this chapter of Revelation that we are studying. And I think that the man clothed in linen is none other than the angel of the Lord, the pre-incarnate Lord Jesus Christ. In chapter 9, he is described, 9 of Ezekiel, he's described along with 6 other men, and I say men, quote unquote, as having a writer's inkhorn at his side. And these other 6 men are the angels who had been appointed to be sent to usher in the judgments of the Lord upon Jerusalem. They had charge over the city. And as they drew near, each with his destroying weapon in their hand, they were accompanying the destroying armies of the Chaldean army that was coming in from the north. So once again here, we find angels described as men in prophetic language and living creatures or cherubim who we would think to be angels who are really men. The wheels are the congregation that listens to them and moves with them in obedience. The man clothed with linen is responsible to go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem in chapter 9 of Ezekiel, and put a mark on the foreheads of those who sigh and cry over all the abominations that are done. These are those true believers who will be eternally saved because they truly mourned over their own sin and sighed and cried over the sins of others. The significance of the man clothed in linen taking fire from among the wheels and the cherubim and scattering it over the city is that the holiness of these, the prophet and the people that listen to him and live out their lives in accordance with his message from God, will be a tremendous witness that Christ will bear against those whom God judges, that his judgment was just. In other words, there was real success to Ezekiel's preaching among the captives. In verses 9 and following of chapter 10, it says, "And when I looked, there were 4 wheels by the cherubim, one wheel by one cherub, and another wheel by each other. each other cherub, as it were, a wheel in the middle of a wheel. And verse 12 says, "And their whole body, with their back, their hands, their wings, and their wheels, that the forehead were full of eyes all around. And as for the wheels, they were called in my hearing, wheel." Each one had four faces. The first face was the face of a cherub. The second face, the face of a man. The third, the face of a lion. And the fourth, the face of an eagle. Does that sound familiar? So you see, the wheels are now being described as the living creatures were being described before. They were together growing into the likeness of Christ, and they were showing forth by their words and their lives that they were holy. That's what the pastor and his people should look like. Not only in their lives on Sundays, but all during the week as well. Joined together to show forth the glory of God in obedience to the word which is delivered on this holy day. Thereby they become faithful and true witnesses. Will you not consider that this is the way to worship God forever and ever? It is by living your life now in such a way that the things that you do and say will show the burning heart of holiness that you have for Christ. You will worship Him who lives forever and ever. Next time that I speak to you from this passage, we will examine the elders casting their crowns before the throne and declaring who is worthy to receive worship. Let's bow together for prayer. Father, we thank You for this tremendous passage of Scripture, both the one in Revelation and these passages in Ezekiel, which talk to us about the living creatures and the wheels and their eyes around and within. And help us to catch the vision of what is being said here of the pastor and the people working together to promote the glory of You, our God, and to live holy lives. Blessed be Your holy name forever and ever, for You are on the throne, and You are teaching us what it will mean to worship You forevermore. For which we give You thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.